He saw maybe one or two areas of help that he could have went to, but he just said, you know what, I'm going to throw in the fifth gear, just cut through these defenders and nail it.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen and soccer fans, to the State of the Republic podcast. My voice is nowhere near similar to Luis, our normal host. However, I'm taking the reins because Luis has a prior commitment. And tonight we have a special guest joining us, Nick Oliver, who attended the match in Colorado Springs against Sacramento, our Republic. We'll be going over a little bit of the match highlights. We will talk to Nick and get his take on what is going on and discuss these fabulous goals by Trevor Aumann, which I listened to our broadcast, local broadcasters, and I found out that it's not Aumann, it's Aumann, according to them. So let's all rejigger our pronunciation of Trevor's last name. And then also that goal by Russell Cicerone that just blew our socks off, as well as some of the saves that Danny Vidiolo made, who let us have a clean sheet once again. So we'll talk about all of that and anything else that we've got on our mind, along with standings and our podcast winner dinner or whatever we call it. So on that note, we usually find out how everybody's doing. And so we'll start right off. Nick, how's it going? Welcome in.
Pretty good. I am super happy to be on this side of the podcast. So thanks for the invite to you all. And I just want to say I am not a substitute for Luis. So that's you, Sharon. I'm just the guest here. Doing great. We're still in Colorado. We're in Greeley, and it's still super windy here. So we've been out and about. It's a really beautiful place to be, and still enjoying the warmth that yesterday's wind provided. That was really great. So yeah, but I asked my wife if she was ready to be home yet, and she said, yeah, she's ready. It's time.
No place like home, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, I heard you got kind of special treatment with respect to the hotel you're staying at. So,
yeah. So I promised you to tell you a little bit of this story. So I have family in Germany, and that includes a cousin who is 17, and he's an exchange student this year. So he's in Greeley, Colorado. And so we've been waiting for the right time to come out and visit him. And so just so happened that time was this weekend for reasons that you all know. And so I brought everyone to the game. So there were five of us there. The host father is the manager of the hotel chain, and he has really hooked us up. So we're in this suite, and Sharon noticed right away the kitchen behind me. I did try to hang a scarf back there and failed pretty miserably. So I was trying to make it a little homier than your standard hotel room. But we're having a great time here, and it was nice. We were five strong supporting Sacramento last night, and we were not alone. So there were another four fans in front of us and two behind us. So we had a whole section.
Well, that's just excellent. My goodness. So we'll toss it over to Arizona, soon to be our Texas hub for State of the Republic podcast. Jared, how's it going?
Doing excellent. I mean, it's a trifecta weekend. Got to see the two of my favorite bands in Tucson. Watched our boys win all the way in Tucson. And now I'm back home in Avondale. And of course, we're lighting the beam later on. But excellent weekend overall. Can't wait to get into the match. And as far as Colorado, there is one spot that I've been to that I certainly wouldn't mind going back to again, especially during the late winter time. Grand Junction, Colorado, out on the Western Mesa. Very, very beautiful little town.
I've heard it's awesome. I think when I was in high school, we drove across the U.S. and that was part of the trek through, because I remember the drive from Lakewood, Colorado, across and through Grand Junction, then, you know, further west. That was a good memory. Beautiful, beautiful there. Colorado is a beautiful state, I will say. However, I could not handle the winters because I'm a wuss. When we get hail here, I'm like taking pictures of it from inside. So if there's any swearing, just hit your own beep button. No, you guys don't have your own beep buttons. Wish we could. Hey, everybody. It's time for Galauses of Gratitude, where we take a minute and sound off our gratitude for something that's happened in our lives or something about soccer. It's an open field. Galauses of Gratitude. Here we go. I'm going to go ahead and kick it off by thanking our team for getting a shutout on the road 2-0 and just having a wonderful match. Probably one of the best matches I've seen from all the players playing together as one in altitude, which blew me away, number one, because we don't do well in altitude. Never have. Even in New Mexico, we don't do well in altitude, right? So to see this, it just made me super happy. Plus, there were so many opportunities with Malik flopping for drinking games. And so really appreciate Malik for, I know he didn't flop, but you know, he was on the ground a lot. So that was when we would take a drink. So I really appreciate that. Galauses of gratitude to go out to him. And then finally to my crew of folks that volunteered like crazy yesterday to clean up abandoned homeless encampments and some areas right around Elk Grove with no qualms. Everybody was eager beaver. And then, you know, Republic Services provided us a lunch afterwards. Really appreciate that. That is it for my galauses of gratitude. Nick, take it away.
Yes. Yeah, so I've not heard anyone really appreciate you all for what you're doing. And so I would like to make that my first galauso of gratitude. You know, I've been listening for a few years and I just kind of fell in love in the first podcast even. You know, you've got these different personalities that come out on the podcast and really, I mean, any talk about the team would be good, but you're so much better than that and bringing heart and personality. And so I think that's important to building a fan base. And I think you need your own hand, your own galauso for this. So I do have one more, and that is my soccer partner. That's my wife, Wendy. And so she really has been the key for me to raise my soccer fan game. I've been in the game for my whole life as a player and a coach and a fan. But in the last few years, she's really just dived into it. And, you know, we're out of Sacramento by about an hour. So it's a little bit of a commitment to get there, to get to games. And she's just down for it every single game and knows what's going on. And I have fun every single weekend and have fun traveling games with her. So that is my galauso of gratitude.
Oh, we're cheering Wendy on like crazy because of Wendy's one of the reasons that makes sure you come to games and all of that. We love Wendy. We really appreciate you stepping on. And I know Jared was going to include this in his galauso of gratitude to really thank you for coming on as a guest, because the minute we found out you were going to Colorado, we all talked behind the scenes and he said, we got to get this man on. So expect to be on here more often, because we know if you're a coach, we know what kind of brain you have. And we love that kind of brain, like Jorge. And, you know, even Luis himself has a really good soccer brain. So Jared, what about you, bud?
Yeah, I definitely have to give my glasses of gratitude to Nick for going out there to the match. I know it's not exactly the warmest weather out there. I mean, it was definitely Arctic winds out in Tucson here, but you're making it all the way and you brought back up for the match. And obviously that helped, because all that extra support brought us the win. So thank you very much for taking the time to get out there. And I've also got a couple other wads of gratitude. So first of all, to Flixbus/Greyhound, who initially canceled both of their trips, but thankfully their excellent customer service got me squared away, even to the point where I got to enjoy Arizona treasure that's been missing for the past several years, called sweet tomatoes. So big glasses also to sweet tomatoes. It's a healthy buffet. Those of you from Sacramento might remember a Fresh Choice or Super Salad. Mm. Basically the same kind of concept. A healthy buffet, decent price and everything like that. Also, glasses of gratitude for Circle K for being on the direct end of my commute from this past Friday's concert with Ministry, Gary Newman, and Frontline Assembly, because were it not for them, that 21-minute walk would end up being about an hour. But thankfully, I had gotten replenishments beforehand. So definitely love Circle K and also downtown Tucson. Big wads of gratitude to the club for, you know, an outstanding effort, because we never do well. You know, just like Sharon said, we never do well in the high altitude areas. Colorado, definitely a Rocky Mountain high altitude. And also to Danny Vitiello for, once again, another clean sheet. I mean, the man can run a hotel chain now with all the clean sheets he's given us. Yeah, that's what I've got for right now.
Well, that's awesome. All of your gloves of gratitudes are all great. Love listening to them. I've learned so much about public transit, Jared, from you. So much so that, well, when I was in England, I really had, that's all I relied upon was public transit. So it's super safe over there. I mean, like, incredibly safe. Even the places that I went that were kind of quasi, maybe not, they were safe. Yeah. It's just, I was kind of astounded. Of course, I didn't go on public transit during match times, you know, when a lot of crazy fans are on public transit. So I kind of avoided that, but otherwise it was great. So now we're going to go ahead and take a look at some of the highlights. You know what? And I think what I want to do right now, I'm going to pull them up, but Nick, I actually kind of want to let you go forward and talk about some of the things that you saw. You were there live and in person. Why don't you walk us through your experience that you had being there live? Because we've not heard from anybody who was live at Colorado Springs, Colorado Springs. So go for it, Nick.
So do you want me to start with walking in the gates or the gameplay?
What was the whole experience like? Like, did you have to buy tickets, or did you have one of the players give you tickets? And, you know, that whole experience of, you know, the stadium and the crowd, and were they nice people, you know? Take us through that.
Great question. So I paid full price for the tickets, and I wanted to find tickets behind the Sacramento bench. I could not find a map of the field that showed which bench was which. So I had to do a little bit of subterfuge. I went into the Switchback subreddit and asked them there which one was the field, and they steered me right. So plus one for your Colorado fan, you know, right off the get-go there. So the only seats that had five together were two rows behind the SAC bench, which was good. And the section was I think it's like our VIP section there at the end of the field opposite the TBB. But it was all you can eat, which was great for the teenagers that I brought. And the field, I mean, the whole stadium, small, but super modern and just great. I mean, the sound system was great. They had really laid things out in a thoughtful way, where they presented the colors for the flags and where you come in, where the food is, where the bathrooms are. So I mentioned the bathrooms, and I've just got to say, that's normally not part of the review of a soccer experience, but they were fantastic. They were heated, and it got so cold that people would get up and they'd just be gone for 15 minutes. And, you know, they were warming themselves up in the bathroom before they'd come back.
Well, that's quite a change from even what we have at Heart Health Park, because Jared calls the bathrooms, excuse me, in the summertime, mini saunas, because they don't have any air conditioning in them. And in the wintertime, you don't warm up in the bathroom. it's just freaking cold, no matter where you are. So good on Colorado for considering the fan experience, right, Jared?
Absolutely. I mean, looking at the stadium so far, it's always looked like a great stadium. I mean, we're not talking like Bank of California Field or whatever it's called now in LA, but, you know, for the size, it's excellent. It's reminiscent of Championship Soccer Field over in Irvine, Orange County. I mean, yes, it's small, but the design is beautiful. So I could definitely say that for its size, it's the jewel of the mountain soccer fields.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And they had a sign posted, and I'm wondering if you can get the podcast fact-checking team to check this out. It said it was the highest professional soccer pitch in the United States, which makes sense, but, you know, I'm not sure about it. The field is turf, obviously, which is always a little bit of a concern, but it didn't seem to play very unnaturally. And I think it wasn't so much of an issue, but the whole stadium experience, I think, was pretty good. And it wouldn't scale to what we would want in Sacramento. I mean, we need bigger, but the way that it was laid out for the purpose of hosting a USL championship team, I think, is right on the money for us. And, you know, I mean, where we are is great. This isn't a complaint about that, but, you know, their stadium is new. I think it was built in 21, and, you know, it should be like that. So that was all great. We got our food. It was a whole spread there for everyone in those sections, and they had burgers and hot dogs and cookies and nachos. And they did have non-alcoholic beer, which I am a fan of, but I just wasn't certain that I was going to be able to pry my fingers off that can once I was done drinking it. So I skipped. So we get down to the seats, and I think quickly realized that despite our best efforts to bundle up, we were not prepared. It was cold and it was windy, but it was thankfully, there was a lot of blockage. So I'm not sure if that was the time of the day exactly, or the stadium was blocking, but we were out and about earlier, and I couldn't imagine how they were going to hold the soccer game. We were getting gusts of 50 and 60 miles an hour. And so there was one ball that I think Connor maybe launched up in the air, and it kind of banana peeled back, and you could see a lot of wind there. But, you know, for the most part, that didn't seem to be a factor in the game, which I was really thankful for.
Yeah, so interesting that you talk about the wind, because our announcers throughout the whole match mentioned the situation with the wind, you know, because you could hear it on the mics. And during gameplay, you could hear the wind and you could see the difference. You could see the jerseys blowing in the wind. Did you see, because you were behind our bench, could you see the players that weren't active? Were they bundled up? Did they have heaters on the sidelines like they do with football? I mean, anything like that? Or did Mark wear a beanie? Sorry.
Mark didn't wear a beanie. So he had a long coat. And the players, yeah, the players were bundled up. And as they were warming up, it was kind of interesting to see what they were wearing. You know, there were some that were just in the training top and shorts, no gloves. And then there were some that were bundled up pretty good. And the players who were on the squad but not playing, yeah, they threw on their heavy jacket and pants and did their best. And Mark was sending them off to go run, you know, every 10, 12 minutes or so. So I wanted to say one thing about the game and kind of qualify my analysis of it a little bit. We were really right behind the bench, and it's not my preferred place for watching a game. You know, when we're at home, we're halfway up the section or more. Actually, we're towards the back of the section, and I really like that perspective. You can see a little better across the field. So, you know, I might not have the same gameplay perspective that I would if I was watching it on the screen or at home.
And that's perfectly fine. So when we go through and revisit some of the goals and some of the plays, you know, we'll definitely ask you what you saw. Having you say that you saw the one, because I think this was one of the plays that the announcers brought up was Connor Donovan. I think it was his clearance or his kick that did kind of like curl back a little bit, but it was beneficial. And then there was another play that they were talking about, and I think it was corner kicks, and they were talking about how Colorado Springs, all they had to do was literally get it on frame because the wind might carry it in. And so they were talking about how it might have made it a little more difficult for our players to track the ball and make sure that they didn't touch it wrong because of the wind. And obviously our guys, you know, calibrated for the wind, and so did our keeper. So we never had any of those issues, but I think their keeper definitely had some issues with our goal scorers. And we were actually going against the wind, right? In the first half?
Yes. Yeah. That's right.
So if you want to walk us through what that looked like passing wise, you know, like in the whole of the game, when you're playing against the wind, well, and what you saw playing against the wind, it screws things. It messes with your mind because you don't know whether your shot is going to be, you know, even go anywhere. If you're kicking into the wind, if it's going to come back to you, if, you know, it just really messes. And then I always chose to play. What is it? Is it with the wind first half, against the wind second half, or I forget where you use your, no, against the wind first half, with the wind second half, because you use all your energy defending, you know, in the first half, and then the second half, easy peasy, you get you get your balls going with the wind. That didn't sound right. You move with the wind in the second half, which means that you could, if you put a little bit on it, it'll go even better into the goal. So anyhow, that being said, tell us a little bit more about the wind. But you said it really wasn't that much of a factor for our guys.
Yeah, I didn't notice it that much. You know, the instances where you would notice it is the long diagonal cross field passes, which we do like to play. So I'm not sure if I would, maybe they modified a little bit of that kind of play, because I didn't really notice any of those going off target or being wind aided. But it seems like Colorado's play in the first half was a with the wind type of strategy, and maybe that's their setup anyway. But it seemed like they were feeding Malik on the near wing in the first half, and just sending long balls and really trying to gas us, you know, a welcome to Colorado kind of game plan.
Well, we saw how that worked out with Malik coming out, you know, just before halftime or at halftime, I forget. I think it was just before the 40th minute. I think they had to pull him out, unfortunately, because, you know, our announcers even mentioned that, you know, he is a little bit prone to injury. And I don't know if that's age or just his position lends itself to being more injured, because he does put himself into harm's way. I mean, he's not afraid to go in and get tackled or go in on a tackle. He's a pretty fearless player. And that was one of the guys that I think we were most concerned with because of his speed. But they seem to have I don't know. I used to chide our own team about having a defense that you could drive a Mack truck through sometimes. And that's how Colorado seemed yesterday. I don't know what your take was on it. Let's go ahead and take a look at our first goal by Trevor Amon. I got to figure out how to do this. Luis, this is when I wish you were here, because I'm going to try to half speed it, but I'm looking for the control panel and I'm not finding it. Hang on.
It's going to be the cog wheel.
Dude, I can't find it. Oh, that. Thank you. Found it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey guys, thanks for bearing with me. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to. Okay, so here, this is 75% speed. So here we can see the buildup from Russell Cicerone, who easily and adeptly gets the ball into Trevor Amon, who was able to just, like, it's almost like they forgot he was out there. And he was able to just easily slot the ball in. And you can see that the wind was blowing their jerseys like crazy. So hang on. Yeah. So we're watching it again, watching Russell. So when you were live and you saw that the players collapsed on Russell, the three defenders collapsed on Russell, leaving Cicerone open, does it also cement in your mind, Nick and Jared, that we made a good decision bringing Trevor in and using him as bait and then using Russell as bait to leave one or the other open? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think what we just saw spells trouble for the rest of the league. If those guys can really fine tune their awareness of where each other is, or even better, is going to be, you know, defender's nightmare. Which one do you cover? And then if you cover both of them, that gives opportunities. We have plenty of other goal scorers on the team. Nick Ross scored a bunch last year, Roro, and then not to mention our wings. So I that was what made me the happiest, to see those two combining.
Soon as Russell served his one game suspension earlier this year, you know he was going to be on a tangent. He was going to rip a new one into any new team that came across. But now when you have both Trevor Amon and Russell Cicerone, I mean, this is just a thing of beauty here. The communication that they have, they draw the defenders towards one, let the other one slip through. and makes them pay for it expeditiously. I mean, this is probably a slightly vulgar way of saying it, but I've got to say, I mean, ultimately getting Trevor and still having Russell in there, it's over for these. You know, and this basically move that just completely says the following words: it's over for you garden utensils. Close period.
There you go. Thank you for doing it that way. So that was one of those goals that we have been, you know, kind of waiting for, that kind of a look from the both of them. And that was in the, what is it? Not even the eighth minute. It was very early in the match. So I should double check my facts, but I believe that's when it happened.
Sharon, I think it was somewhere in the fifth minute. So before minute six, I think that's where that happened.
You're right. Because this is showing, this is minute 6:58 on my thing, but that was well after it happened. It's the highlight. It's the post. Yes. Post goal. You are correct. Nick, you watch these sort of things. You're probably one of those guys, and I'm just starting to do it, that when they give you 5 minutes of added time, you set your stopwatch to see how well it goes. Do you do that?
Did Wendy tell you that?
No. I just figured, because of the comments you've made in the past and the discussions we've had at the matches, I figured you were on. Because even my friend Tina, she sets her watch for the added time. And it's like we talked in the last podcast, statting a game can make it more interesting. And so the more you do things like that, the more interesting the game becomes and the more involved you become as a fan, which is exactly what they want us. I mean, it's like, what are they feeding us at the matches? You know, make us want to keep doing this. They're feeding us almond and Cicerone. Is that an Italian dish? Oh, bad. Sorry. Okay.
That was good. All of that's true, Sharon, and guilty as charged.
There you go.
With the setting of extra time. And, you know, I mean, I think if Luis were here, he'd agree with me. These refs need it. Someone needs to keep track of the extra time.
Agreed. So we did see a lot of change in possession, and apparently, and it didn't look like this to me, I was flabbergasted with the fact that our possession percentage was really low. From watching the game, it felt a lot higher. So it was, yeah. I was a little dumbfounded.
Yeah, because it seemed like what I was watching on the Fox 40 website, it seemed like we were hardly giving them any chance. They only had two shots on goal by the end of the game. So, yeah, I thought our possession was a lot higher than it was.
And you're right. I thought so, too. But, you know, it could be that the passing sequences and the broken plays favored Colorado versus us. Sorry, I'm letting some of the highlights go through and some of the other shots that were taken by our players here in the background. So, yeah. So
my sense of the time that Sacramento had the ball was comfortable possession. So, I think I read that our possession after the game was 40%,
which
just doesn't, it feels like that's not the same game that I watched. You know, our guys were knocking it around the back, and it just never felt like Colorado was going to do anything meaningful with the ball.
No, and I agree with you. And before we get to the goal scored by Russell Cicerone, I kind of wanted to highlight Luis Felipe for a moment, because I think, and Nick, you were live and in person, and you could probably see, because you were sitting on the side where Luis favors, I thought he played a really good game. You know, I think I'm trying to remember if he got subbed out early. I'd have to look at stats. I just really appreciated that he was more on this match than I've seen him. He was a playmaker. He was doing Brazilian, you know, touches, and his confidence seemed to really improve with every game. And, you know, I have all the confidence in the world in Lee Desmond at this point. I'm just blown away at his recovery from last season to this season. You know, they had the injuries, the head cut, you know, all of that stuff. And, you know, Luis was one thread of a tendon short of surgery, and he didn't have to have surgery, right? So I think he's back. What do you think, you guys?
Yeah, I'll jump in. He's one of those players that I have loved since the first time I saw him on the field. He just has this silky smooth stride, and he does a lot of different things. And so I think the first few years he played a lot of defensive midfielder, and you know, the things that Arnold would do for us. And you know, but I get the sense too that he might prefer to play a little more forward, to be a little bit more of a playmaker. And so if we've got, you know, a true holding midfielder, I think that helps him out by letting him express more of his passing and movement. And I think he's one of those players that when he does well, we do well as a team.
Yeah, you're right. And speaking of Arnold Lopez, I mean, I lament the fact that, you know, his injury has caused him to be released from his contract this season for the remainder of the season. And that's a blow to my heart, because I really, truly love the bruiser that was Arnold Lopez last season. You know, what we were able to see, the bits that we had before he got injured. And I believe it was San Antonio that took him out, if I'm not mistaken. It was that match, you know, that was also the same match that Luis Felipe was injured in. Is that pretty much what you guys remember? It was the matches, the San Antonio bruisings that we always took. Anyhow, it doesn't matter. But Nick Ross has now, I mean, you go from the most beefy dude, Arnold Lopez, last season being the bruiser in the back, right? And now you have the most slender guy fulfilling that role essentially as the holding, you know, defensive midfielder, and they switch off who gets to go up and who doesn't get to go up. And there's great communication on the team, because if Nick Ross is caught high, next thing you know, Roro is down underneath. Who was it that's been chasing down some of the attackers on the opposing team? It's been Ro. And it's like, who's that? That's Ro. That's the eight. That's our eight going in there and, you know, and doing some of the cover that's needed in the back line. So I'm between two thoughts of like, okay, you have a Nick Ross that doesn't physically ever appear to be that bruiser defensive midfielder, but he's tactically superb and excellent. So his timing is always perfect. I mean, I'm a huge Nick Ross fan. As you can tell, I'm pretty much a fan of the whole team, but Nick has really sat in the pocket nicely for me. But we didn't play with him much this last match. And Nick, you said that there was a lot of wing play going on because of the wind and a lot of crossing balls. So I didn't see, I mean, I thought Nick had a brilliant game and, you know, Luis Felipe same, but I didn't see much play through Nick this time.
Yeah, I didn't really make note of that so much. So the wing play that I mentioned before was primarily the Colorado in the first half. That seemed to be what they were trying to get going. And you know, we customarily play with, you know, we spread the field and are really good at it. And I think what I would like to see us adding is that rotation inside. So it's not just a cross from the corner, but we can play the ball in and have our guys rotating off of that and rotating underneath. And, you know, we've got so many attacking weapons to be able to do that. And we have just phenomenal wing play too. I mean, really probably as a whole, the best in the league. So to have them able to stretch the field wide and create these holes and then pass and rotate in, I think it gives us additional attacking options. So I didn't come away from the game with a lot of mental notes about our midfield play. So I don't have a whole lot to add there.
Yeah, and understood. I mean, it was almost like you had to watch it from our vantage point and the replays, you know, to kind of see where the plays were coming from. But let's go ahead and take a look at Russell Cicerone's goal that happened, I believe, in the 26th minute, if I'm not mistaken. So, and it's almost like he had an opportunity. Now, again, this is not in full speed. He had the opportunity himself to just decide what he wanted to do with the ball. He's, you know, he gets the ball from, it looks like Nick, and then just dribbles himself all the way into the box and then boom, shoots. And I think it was a matter, they didn't know if Trevor, if he was going to pass to Trevor, pass to somebody else who was nearby, pass it back to Jack, you know, out on the wide wing, or dump it. And so they just kept backing off of him. And then once he got in the box, you know, you don't want to, you know, foul him, because then that's a PK. So yeah, this wonderful ball, this bent ball from the outside the foot from Nick Ross, and the guys just kind of allow him to walk into the box and shoot. When you were there live, how much cheering did you hear? Because you were, you know, one of how many, nine?
There were about 12 of us, and we made some noise. I have to say, the section we were in, there must have been a dozen empty rows behind us. So I don't think we outnumbered Colorado in our section, but I don't think there were 50 Colorado fans in our section. So we were cheering pretty good. And by this point, you know, your second goal goes in and it's early. You're feeling pretty good about this game, and especially the way, I mean, we're clicking at this point. Things are working. You know, even our mistakes look pretty good. I'm not sure all of those passes in that sequence were intended, but you know, they ran with it and made it work. And that's important too.
Yeah, that was interesting, because when we see the passes in the sequence, we see that Lee Desmond's pass deflected off of, there were four guys that were closing down and Lee passed it straight into the four guys, but it deflected straight to Nick, and Nick was able to capitalize and get the ball to a wide open Russell Cicerone. Why would you even not zone on Russell? You know, so I think Colorado's got a lot of work to do, honestly. And Jared, I know you were watching it too.
Absolutely. I mean, that goal, I mean, Russell just, he saw maybe one or two areas of help that he could have went to, but he just said, you know what, I'm going to throw in the fifth gear, just cut through these defenders and nail it. I mean, this is something that's, you know, we're starting to get better at, finishing opportunities. I mean, granted, this could have easily been about 4-0 or 5-0 with some of the opportunities that we've had, but that's just one in particular. We see he's close by at least five defenders in that short distance and rattles it past Herrera. And by the way, their goalkeeper, Herrera, he had some big marbles a few times in the second half. I mean, he just went way off his line and made a couple saves, just being out there in no man's land. But Where was that happening earlier in the first half? But don't worry, we're not going to complain about it. But
no complaints whatsoever.
Exactly. Exactly.
So we're up 2-0 and it's still the first half. We're up 2-0. How much panic, or how much, not panic, but you know, how much would, is a team thinking to themselves, ooh, I can run up the score, or I can sit and park the bus and make sure that nothing gets through? I think I saw our squad think the first part. I think we can run up the score, because I didn't see us. I mean, obviously we're going to protect the goal. Nick, what did you see?
Well, I'll start with this, Sharon. The team and Mark too came over after the game, and I said good game to Mark, and he shook his head and said it should have been 4-0. So that's going to be the team's mentality after this. Not great game, which it was a great game, but they probably could have scored two more times and should have. And, you know, that's something that they're going to need for later in the season to convert. You want to convert every opportunity, right? So you have unrealistic expectations. But I think that they did, as a team, a lot of planning for this match. And because of the altitude, because of the temperature, you play that a little differently. So their subs went in a little earlier than they normally would. So maybe 5-8 minutes earlier than they would. And so I think maybe there's some movement here to the pain that's going to come. You know, 20 minutes, no one's feeling any pain, but it's coming, right? And you leave those guys in and they're really going to suffer and maybe start to make bad decisions, or, you know, just misstep. And so any of that can be punished. And so I think At this point, me, I'm watching the game and I'm thinking, oh, we're playing pretty darn good, and Colorado is playing pretty darn bad. So I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah. So when you said that Mark wasn't just all 100% happy because he knew it could have been 4-0, and that was the missed shot by Decker where he had one-on-one with the keeper, and he basically passed the ball to the keeper, and that was the highlight we just saw a second ago, you know, where we got the ball from turnover. It was a pass up and out to Jack by Russell, and Jack just waltzes in right into the box, pretty much unmarked, and, you know, passes it right to the keeper. And so it didn't end up going Jack's way. So that was one shot, but, you know, we can forgive that. And then I believe there was another opportunity by Trevor, and I know he wishes he had it back. Trevor Amon, I know he wants that. I know he wants it back. So this is in the second half where he
beat
where he beat the line, and he's just literally, it's a one-on-one with the keeper, and he shoots it just wide right. The gasp that went through, because you couldn't tell, and we don't know what the wind was doing. We couldn't tell from our seats when it was happening on television. We couldn't tell.
That was with the wind. That play.
He was
running with the wind.
He was running with the wind, so it could have had a little effect on the way that the ball played. But at the end of the day, it didn't go in. And I think those are the two, the Jacker and the Trevor, you know, miss. I believe those are the ones that stand out a lot in Mark's brain, and probably in your brain as well.
I think maybe Rafa had a chance too.
Yes, you're right. You're absolutely.
And that I want to say late in the game, maybe last 12 minutes or so.
Here we go. I think I found it. So there was a shot. Well, there's here where he must have come in at halftime or 63rd minute. So he has the ball. He gets the ball, and it's a bender outside, just wide right. And it would have been just rewards for him to have that one go in, because there was another game earlier in the season where he, you know, was called offside. Oh, here we're taking a look at some of the yellow card situations. And I don't know if that was the same time where Russell was also booked. So there was a little situation that occurred where Russell got a yellow card, Colorado Springs got a yellow card, and then another yellow card was issued. And Nick, I believe that was the melee that occurred. I don't see the highlights here on the highlight reel for that, but there had been no cards issued until then. And the decision on those yellow cards bears whether I get a point or Jared gets a point or we both get a point because of it happening in the 43rd minute. But the first yellow card, the referee showed to Russell, and then immediately afterward to Colorado Springs.
Oh,
yeah. So that will make a difference, because I believe I picked, I think it was a Colorado I picked to get the first yellow, wasn't it?
Yeah, I picked Sack, and it happened. They both happened at the same time frame, but the referee showed Russell the first yellow. But we get to decide as a group when time comes to look at podcast winner dinner. We get to decide what's going to happen. So. Like I said, I don't think the melee was shown fully, because they just showed only the one booking. But let me see if I can't go back and we can take a look at the situation. It was right after Rafa's shot, and all we see is the booking of Wahab.
So Ronaldo, and that's their center defender, right?
Yeah, but there was multiple bookings at that time. There were two bookings in the 43rd minute. First to Russell, then to Wahab, and then to a third player. And I think you're right, it was Ronaldo. So all three got booked at that same stoppage. But anywho, now we're looking at a foul by Luis coming in and fouling somebody, which, you know, that's his job.
So can I ask, what did you all think of the refereeing in this?
Well, I like Brian. I think it's Brian. I forget his last name. I actually thought he was fair. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought he was great. I mean, it seemed like the calls went in Sack's direction, which really got their sparse crowd pretty riled up. But, you know, it occurred to us, we were talking about that. It's the same thing that we see at home, you know, where there's some fouls that the crowd doesn't like, but I think I feel like they're the right call, even if they go against us, you know, and I felt like he kept a pretty good control of the game. I would like to hedge on that just a little bit by saying that I haven't exactly watched that set two that happened in front of the away bench that I recorded. I didn't go back and watch that, and I want to do that and see exactly what happened in there.
It was amazing. I actually posted it so everybody else could see it. And I know, Jared, if you clicked on it, you might have been able to see it because I threw it up in the chat. I think I yesterday, Jared, remember me throwing Nick's video into the chat so we could all see the melee in front of the bench?
I'll have to look at it as well, because the only melee video I really saw quite frequently was the Oakland Monterey Bay one. But I'll have to have a look at the one from this match here.
Yeah, I put it in our little chat group, and I've already added Nick to the chat, so he'll be able to find that video quickly, because I think it's in our chat. I believe I put it in the chat with a caveat that it came from Nick. So yeah, watch it, Nick. You'll be surprised. I was shocked when I watched it. It was like, oh my goodness, that's a lot to have happen, and a little shoving and people getting in everybody's faces. And you know, at the end of the day, we came away with 2-0. And I just want to do one last clip here showing a save by Danny Vidiolo. So,
oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. So Colorado Springs were on the front foot for the last, I want to say, 25 minutes. They were actually on the front foot and attacking hard. And it looks like a ball fell right to one of their players after getting pinged around a little bit in our box. And again, this is against the wind, and so the ball does weird stuff when it's against the wind. And Danny dove in the right direction on a deflection, which kind of is a little bit of, you don't always get those, you know, you don't always get those favorable bounces, or you don't get a guy that can actually see all of that as quick as, you know, as quickly as Danny does. But again, that's why he's a goalkeeper of, you know, the year last year and Gold Glove winner. And so here we go again. We're going to watch the ping pong of the ball in the box, you know, deflections, the ball dropping weirdly in front of other people, and, you know, shots being taken, and Danny Vidiolo saving our bacon once again.
Yeah, he earned that clean sheet with that save. He was fully stretched and single hand. Not a lot of time to line the ball up and watch it come in. So yeah, that was one of those things that I think you call his cat moves, right?
Yes.
Or he has Danny the cat. Reflexes.
Well, they have two cats at home along with their little son. So, you know, he's not bad. I think he learns through watching. Who knows? So that's the match as far as that goes. And next up for us is Tulsa. So we're going to take a quick look at the standings. So right now it shows that Orange County is in first place based on goal differential. I think they finally got this correct. We share 11 points after 5 matches played. So we've got Orange County in first, Sac Republic in second, but still tied for first with a pretty good standings. Our results have been good. New Mexico United is coming on strong and hot, and they have, you know, one of our former players playing for them, and apparently he's been, you know, he has the Joaquin Rivas with a hot foot, so, you know, darn them. And then we've got Las Vegas Lights, who are not acting like the Las Vegas Lights of old, with 3 wins in a row. San Antonio FC is dropping, and Jared is just smiling like a Cheshire cat at this point, with Monterey Bay following them in 6th, Phoenix Rising in 7th, which brings us happiness also, just because, you know, we'll never forget them for handballing the ball into the box on a playoff match that would have catapulted us. Well, anyhow, we don't talk about that. But now we play FC Tulsa. They're in 8th place right now in the Western Conference, followed by Oakland Roots, Memphis, who's acting like the Memphis of old, in 10th, and El Paso Locomotive, which is a surprising, it's surprising to find them down in the 11th. But the most surprising thing is to see Colorado Spring Switchbacks with a game in hand at the bottom of the basement with absolutely zero wins this season and a giant L. By the way, our social media team at Sac Republic are fantastic, where they say there's an L in Colorado, but not one in Sacramento. So that was a great post by them. If you haven't seen it, go take a look at their post. That was probably one of the best that they've had all season.
I was going to say, and a lot more family friendly than the ones I posted. And also a quick correction as far as Joaquin Rivas. He's actually playing with El Paso.
What? When did he? I thought he was with New Mexico.
Nope. Nope.
Seriously?
Yeah, because he scored a goal this weekend. And El Paso had remarked, about his debut with the club.
Thank you for the correction. For some reason, I've just put him right into New Mexico because he lives so close to that. Well, silly me.
It's nearly the same region, more or less.
Yeah, you're right. Anyhow, so on that note, looking at Tulsa, they have two games in hand. Their last match was a draw. So their last match was April 5th. It was a tie against Phoenix Rising, which is a good result for anybody playing Phoenix. It was 3-3, so it basically means there was a lot of goal scoring. And the match prior to that, the loss, was against Orange County, which is, considering Orange County's standings, only allowing one goal is not bad. So I think we have a little bit to think about when we're playing against FC Tulsa. So when you're making your predictions, just know that FC Tulsa is a pretty stiff opponent. They've only had one home match. So on their away game against Las Vegas Lights, now the retooled Las Vegas Lights, they actually beat them 3-1. So they don't do poorly away. Let's hope that they do when they play us.
Well, also, we've got a pretty solid record against FC Tulsa overall. We've either, to my knowledge, we've either won or tied with FC Tulsa. I don't believe we've ever lost to them. Let's not change things here. Let's get this win against FC Tulsa and then move on to the next week.
Okay. Good point. So, on that note, let's see, do we need to talk about any of the other standings on the other side on the Eastern Conference? I don't think so. We don't care so much right now about the Eastern Conference because we're in the Western Conference. And unless we're playing somebody in the East, we don't need to talk about them. So let's move on to, or do we? Let's move on to.
Well, yeah. I'm going to say yes. There's something I wanted to talk about in the East. And it is Sacramento related because one of our own is doing really good things in the East, and that's Danny Dicchio with Detroit.
Okay, fair enough. Let me get back to that.
He has them undefeated, and they were abysmal before. So, I think we as a club can take some credit for that.
Well, also Carlos Saldana is playing with them now.
Oh, I didn't know that. Great.
Yep. Yeah, I think he'll still be behind Nate Steinwasher, but you got to give Carlos some minutes there. I mean, especially the fact that he's already used to Danny Dicchio's system. Now that's, you got to get Carlos in there.
So on the
that's
right in front of us here. We have Lou City and Detroit City, kind of tied with Louisville City having a better goal differential. But you're right, Nick. They are really running on high octane at this point. They did bring in, some players. But at the end of the day, I think Danny had been a really good key for us and a good key for now Detroit, as you say. The shocker, however, is Pittsburgh. Will you take a look at those standings with no wins?
I think we broke them with all the off-season transactions from 2 years ago and then this year. It's finally caught up to Pittsburgh. But Hartford, they're actually in the top three. Usually they're the ones taking Pittsburgh's place right now. But I think Hartford's made some pretty good transactions and it's paying off. I mean, they're definitely a big surprise along with Pittsburgh just pretty much tanking.
Yeah. And our newest team, Rhode Island, is still finding their butt with both hands at this point, with all these Men's Warehouse ties in their closet and a loss. So They've got a lot of draws on the record. Hopefully they can right the ship and become a little bit more competitive in the league overall. So yeah, Nick, thanks for bringing that up. And now we're going to move on to the favorite thing, podcast winner dinner, or whatever we call this. Podcast winner dinner. I think I got it right this time. It's whatever Luis wants to call it is what it's called. So let's review what happened last week, and then we get to decide how we want to deal with the goals scored. I mean, the yellow card situation. So we have Colorado and LeSac there. Nobody got the score line, although John came the closest. And we were all hoping that John would have won because that would have given us a better goal differential overall. But nobody won. I mean, I was the most pessimistic with the fewest amount of goals scored. But I did get the goal scorer with Trevor. And nobody got the assist. The assist was made by Russell, and nobody picked Russell. However, when we watch the game, we've got to decide as a group who's going to get the point for the yellow card. In the same minute, two yellow cards were issued in the 43rd minute. The first one to SAC, the second to Colorado. In the 44th minute, in that same time frame, Colorado got a second yellow. A different player got a yellow card. So, because Russell was shown the yellow first, does that mean Sacramento got the first yellow? But in the 43rd minute, so did Colorado. Both players were going to get a yellow, but he couldn't pull two yellows out at the same time. He had to go one by one. What do we think? Do we all get a point?
There's definitely going to be times where two players end up getting carded. I know the conventional way would be going with whoever was drawn first. I mean, granted, yes, the referee is intent on giving them both at the same time. But I don't know. I guess it just really depends on who is closest to receive the first yellow. So I think in this one, I may go with SAC as far as who actually got the first yellow. Because as you were saying, we got it awarded first, and then another player ends up getting the card. So I'm going to go with camera time. I know in the chat that we had, I was referring to maybe checking on FOTMob while I was busy eating. But I think if you've got clear and concise information showing that the first yellow was given to SAC, you know, we'll go with that.
Nick, what do you say? Because it happened, they both got yellowed in the 43rd minute. FOTMob showed the Colorado player, because he's the home team, getting the first yellow. It in sequence in their stats, it went Colorado, Sacramento, but on television, it was Sacramento, Colorado, but they both occurred in the 43rd minute. What do you say?
Yeah, I would say that unless you started out the beginning of a season by saying we're going to use FOTMob to resolve, you know, at this point, whichever player the referee pointed the card at first, there's your answer. And it could be arbitrary. I think that's absolutely right. So two players come together, they're both getting a card. He's pointing to whoever's closer, you know, and in the purpose of the game, it really doesn't matter. But for this, it matters. It makes a big difference. So I think that you'd have to say Sacramento.
Sacramento it is. So that brings us to Sharon getting 2 points, Luis getting 1 point, and Jared and John, who played along last time, getting none, which brings our totals to, let me slide the little bar over. So Sharon should have now 4 points. Luis has 6, and Jared is still with 3. So Jared, I am sorry, I'm no longer behind you, but we have another game. There's plenty left in the season, which brings us to our predictions for Sacramento at home playing against Tulsa. And as you can see, I've already posted Luis's results, what he thinks will be the results. He has SAC winning 2-0, with Trevor being the first goal scorer, Russell being the other goal scorer if Trevor doesn't see the pitch, Jack being the assist, and Sacramento drawing the first yellow. And I'll go second. So be ready, Jared, with your predictions. I'm going to have SAC 2-1 because I have a feeling, and I'm also going with Trevor. Why not? this has been my roulette wheel. I just let it ride. But I have a feeling that I'm going to stick with Nick because he so far is leading the team with assists. And I'm going to go with Tulsa getting the first yellow because they're going to lose their brain. Jared, and then we'll close with Nick.
All right. Well, knowing FC Tulsa's history, I'm going to say Republic win 3-1. And then the first goal, I am going to go with Trevor Amon. And if for some reason, if he does not go on the pitch, I am going to go with Jonathan Ricketts. I know I've been kind of cheerleading him on, but you know he's had a great season so far. Assist, I am going to go with Jack Gurr. And then I am going to say, you know what, Sack gets the first yellow.
All right. There we go. All right, Nick, it's your turn.
All right. So before I give you my prediction for the Tulsa game, I want to tell you my prediction that I made for the Colorado game and where I made it. So by the concourse or on the concourse, as we were walking to our seats, there was some betting establishment that had a huge whiteboard where you could write your score up there. And I wrote Sac Republic 2-0, which was not very popular at the time.
That's so amazing. Somebody must have got that to the locker room.
What I didn't do is put the $10 down on it that would have won me $150. So I didn't do that.
Oh my God, that would have been me. Dude, Nick.
Yeah. I'm not such a gambler, but I love making predictions. And I love to see that guy's look when I put Sacramento 2-0 up on there. And it was there at the end of the game. And so we shared a laugh. Me at my luck and, you know, getting the right score, and him at his luck in avoiding paying out $150, I think.
There you go.
So on to this week. I note that there is an L in Tulsa, so I'm going to say 3-1 Sacramento.
Oh, so you're going to match Jared's optimism. I'm not as optimistic in goal scoring because we haven't been a high goal scoring team at home. Okay, go ahead. Keep going. Who's going to get
all right? I've got Trevor scoring, and if he's not out there, Jack.
Fair enough.
And the assist is going to come from Nick, and Tulsa will pick up the first yellow.
All right, fair enough. This is turning into a fun session. All right, so that's what we have so far. We did what we needed to do for this podcast. And it was a load of fun, but I don't know, Jared, that we have a clip that was hilarity worthiness for dear. Well, yes, we do, for dear Luis to put in as the beginning thing. But I think running up second is Nick's potential bet that didn't get made about the scoreline for the Colorado Springs match. Like, yeah, you're muted, buddy.
Me or Jared?
No, it was me. Well, he still had a better result than the last time I put a bet on the Republic against Las Vegas. $240-some-odd down the drain, losing that one.
Yeah, because Las Vegas forgot to be Las Vegas that time.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. It's been fabulous having Nick, who is at the game in the Mile High Stadium. Well, I don't know if it's Mile High there because it's not Denver. It's Colorado Springs, so it might be even more high altitude-wise. Really appreciate having you on. Well, Jared's different, you know. Jared wasn't even at altitude high.
it's Colorado, so I think you're wise to differentiate between altitude high and the other kind.
There you go. There you go. But really appreciate both of you for being on tonight. And we sure hope Luis was having a good time. Any final words, any parting words before we close?
I just want to say thank you to you two for inviting me on and had a lot of fun. And, you know, we've talked about traveling to some other games. And so, you know, maybe that's something that I could do is check back in after, you know, watching our boys out there on the road.
Oh, man, that would be fabulous. We would love that. Totally love that. Because the experience when you're at an away game and your team, Look, the biggest, well, besides going to Reno, the most fun I had at an away game as a fan was when we went down to play LA Galaxy in the Open Cup. That was so much fun to be part of this little group. Well, it was actually a huge group of supporters. Aside from going to Orlando, you know, and playing them, I think LA was by far the most fun for me, just because there were so many supporters there, because it was the Open Cup, the US Open Cup, which, by the way, we'll be entering in the May timeframe. So look for that. So, Jared, any last words?
Well, I thought I would never say this, but this weekend's match is going to be the last one to be viewed from Section 602. But I'm going to see if I can try to make it a good one. But yeah, going forward, I believe it's going to be... I'll have to figure out the area code for Kilgore. But either way, it's odd that it's going to be against FC Tulsa. I'm still trying to see if there's any way possible to go up to Tulsa in October for the road match. I'm going to do my damnedest. But of course, San Antonio is the following weekend. So October is going to be rough on my travel plans. But that's further down the road. Let's focus on this weekend's match against FC Tulsa and go Republic.
Love it. Yes. And for those of you who want to know how to share our podcast, I mean, we're also on sacsoccerpods.com. Wherever you get your podcasts, that's where you can find us. You can also leave us a message on sacsoccerpods.com. We have dedicated operators standing by. And it's none of us. But you can call it. You can leave it a voice message for us, and we'll get it. So on that note, thank you for listening at whatever time of day you are. And we hope you're having a fabulous time. Take care of yourselves and love on each other and be kind above all.
And cue the music.